If you have your Bibles, let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Gavin, you might have had a little concern about the word, but that might be the prettiest Christmas song I ever heard. Amen. I love songs like that that can bring Christmas to the present. Amen. And that's what it ought to be. Amen. Preached just a little while this morning. This is something practical. Amen. And I was sitting there thinking on, sitting on this front row, you know, I'm guilty of most of the things I'm getting ready to preach about. And don't you get all holy on me because you're guilty of it too. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, if you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. I'm going to read in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph or engaged or betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Let me stop right there. Just make sure you understand what this is saying. They were engaged before they came together, before they ever had any kind of intimate relationships. She was found to be conceived by the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to put her make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name and thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for what you've already done on the altar this morning, God. And Lord, you're not through yet. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, you'd move in this church. God, I pray, God, you would help us right now, God, to get our minds on your word, God. And God, you speak to every heart, God, and whatever's done, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible tells us that the angel came to Mary, and when Mary was a young virgin girl, and the angel said, you are highly favored, you're going to have a child. And the Bible then tells us that at some point right there, Mary has got to tell Joseph. I don't know how far along she was. I don't know if maybe she started showing and somebody went and told Joseph. The Bible don't really tell us. But either way, Mary has to sit down with Joseph at some point and tell Joseph, listen, I got something I need to talk to you about. I'm going to have a baby. And I ain't never been with a man. Yeah. The Bible tells us here that I read, the Bible said, now look what it said. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Don't you know that Joseph had questions? So I believe that's one of the reasons that God sent the angel to Joseph. And understand something. At this point, it had been over 400 years since they had had a word from God. At this point, there was no priest. God did not come to the priest. God did not come to the high priest. God came to a little virgin girl. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things. Now listen. Everybody go ahead and get ready to put your Bibles down and come to the altar. If you'll give me just a little while, I'm going to finish preaching this though, and then we'll give altar call. I want to preach on being patient at Christmas. Yeah, either grunt or say amen or oh me, whichever way you want to put it. Being patient at Christmas. Because Joseph was patient. Now listen, this is oh me. Because Joseph was patient, he didn't do something that he was going to regret later on. Amen. I mean, listen, let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. Brother Ed, if that had been me, we're going to get a lawyer. We're going to separate. I'm telling you right now, you can't be faithful to me. Now, don't raise your hand because I know you're all guilty. How many of y'all ever flew off the handle? All y'all married men shake your head like right there. That way your wife won't know you're saying something. Amen. Listen, he didn't do something that he was going to regret later on. I've been there. I'm guilty of this. Amen. I've probably been guilty of this week. I know y'all ain't going to agree with me, but just sit there and endure it. What does the Bible tell us about what I'm talking about? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. I must be dumb as a rock. He that is slow to wrath is of a great understanding, but he that is hasty of a spirit exalteth folly. Now, y'all can either start amening me or I'm going to start preaching to your wives. I'm just being honest. I used to think that the older I'd get, Brother Clint, the better it'd get. I ain't too sure. I can be as honest as the day is long with Brother Robert and Brother Clint. Why can't I do that with my wife and my kids and my grandkids? I ought to love them more than I love everybody else. This is somebody that Joseph knew. This is somebody that Joseph was close to. This is somebody that Joseph had a love for. And Joseph was patient. And he was patient and he didn't do something that he was going to regret later on. I've been there many times. Had to apologize many times. I've had to apologize to church members. But I've had to apologize to my family a whole lot more than I have church members. Somebody said that patience is a necessary ingredient of genius. That's why I ain't no smarter than I am. Amen. Because he was patient, he didn't say something that he was going to soon regret. Now, here we go. All you ladies want to just smile and wave at me and say, preach on, preacher, you preaching on my husband? Because he was patient, he didn't say something that he was going to soon regret or regret later on. Proverbs chapter 15 says this, verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. I used to know a guy. He was a real smart guy. And when you talked to him, Melvin, if you asked him a question, this is how he would answer, Brother Ralph. He'd say, I thought, this man just stutters. He wasn't stuttering, Brother Terry. He was thinking about what he was going to say. Me and Adrian didn't know what I was going to preach this morning. Me and Adrian was talking in the Life Center. Adrian said, let me tell you a joke. And it was a joke about a young man that was getting married. His dad had been married for years and years and years. And he asked his dad, said, how can you explain you being married so long? He said, well, number one, he said, listen to me. I'm going to give you some good information right now. He said, when you and your wife, when you get upset at your wife, don't say the first thing pops into your mind. Don't say the second thing pops into your mind. I'm going to go as far as say, don't even say the third thing sometimes that pops into your mind. Understand something, folks. If we don't think about what we're going to say, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. I ought to be farther along in my Christian walk than this. I ought to be to that point where I can study and think about what I'm going to say and not just blurt it out. But I ain't there yet. Maybe you are, so you pray for me. Proverbs chapter 21, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Amen. All you husbands say amen right there. Sometimes if you say the first thing comes into your mind after your wife talks to you, that can cause divorce. If you say the second thing pops into your mind, that might get you on the couch. Think about what we're going to say. And not only with our wives, this is just practical information at Christmas, folks, that we can all learn from. Somebody said one time, it's bad to think ill, but it's much worse to speak it, for that implies a consent to do evil through a willingness to infect it with others. I wonder how many times Peter regretted what he said to Jesus. Lord, I'll never deny you. You might be talking about everybody else, but you ain't talking about me. Like I said, I'm preaching to myself this morning. And I know some of this is a little bit funny, but if you really get down to it, it ain't funny. The way we treat each other, Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of them, you've done it unto me. Wow. How many of us would like to go back and take back some of the things that we've said over the years? Everybody. Because he was patient, now listen, because he was patient, he got to hear from God. The Bible tells us in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, while he pondered these things, why he didn't just rush out and say the first thing come to his mind. He didn't rush out and just do the first thing to come to his mind. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. He might have been worried when that night started. He might have been all upset when that night started. My spouse's wife has cheated on me. There's something going on. I mean turmoil just going through his mind and not able to sleep. And then all of a sudden that angel appears to him and said, listen, don't you worry about what she told you. What's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Don't you know he slept like a baby after that? Ain't it amazing when we can be patient? Ain't it amazing when we can let God move? Ain't it amazing how that sometimes God works in our life? We losing sleep, but God's working. We can't talk to nobody, but God's working. And then after a little while, God works it all out, and a calm comes over us. Because he was patient, he heard from God. I was in a conference this past week. And this guy was teaching this class in this conference. And this he said something that I kind of already had in my mind and I knew, but, he said studies have shown that if a preacher don't stay at a church at least 7 to 10 years, he's not giving it his full potential. And I can't tell you how many times over the years that preachers get upset. And David, you know what I'm talking about. Preachers get upset, and in 2 and 3 years, they resign the church. They leave and never hear from God and don't get the full potential of what God can do. It's the same way in our lives. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you that's been married over 10 or 15 years now, that it took a little patience? And it took a little understanding, and it took a little bit of biting your tongue for you to get to where you're at now, but praise God for where you're at now. Folks, I'm just telling you, if you want to hear from God, sometimes you got to be patient. If you want to hear from, I was thinking about as I was studying, Joseph was one of the most patient men that we can find in the Bible. The Bible talks about Joseph, the man coat of many colors. He was the most loved son. The Bible says that he came out, Jackie, and he had a dream. And sometimes you best keep your mouth shut when it's about your dream. He had a dream, and he told his dream to his brothers, and then he told his dream to his mama and daddy, and none of them really liked it, and his brothers hated it. so much that his brother sold him into slavery. God has come down and God said, you're going to be the leader. You're going to do great things. And now he's sold into slavery, but he's still being faithful to God. He's sold into slavery, and he's still being true to God. And now he's given to Potiphar, and now Potiphar puts him over all of his house, and he's still being true to God. But Potiphar's wife puts her eyes on him, and she says, I want you. And he said, no. He said, that'd be a sin. I can't do that. He wasn't worried about Potiphar. He was worried about sinning again. God, and he was patient, and they threw him in prison, and he was still patient. I'm just going to be honest. If he wasn't Free Will Baptist at that point, most of us would have flew off the handle, called people names, but we know the story. And if you go back and study this story, you got to understand, so if you go back and study this story, it was about 17 years, Ronnie, that he had to wait. But when you see the end of the story, it was well worth the wait. Amen. Some of us need to realize, I want to hear from God. How many people get upset and leave church because they don't get their way and they never hear from God? Because he was patient, he was allowed to do a work for God. He was allowed. Can you imagine? Can you imagine God having enough confidence in you, Clint? I want you to raise my boy. He didn't come down to a high priest. He didn't come down to one of them that had been in school. He came down to a lowly carpenter. He came down to somebody that had enough integrity about him, and he was allowed to do a work for God. Let me go ahead and tell you something. Joseph probably had one of the most important jobs in history. He raised God's son. Think about that. He, my God, have mercy, this might be a whole nother sermon. He had to be the example for the Savior. Imagine that. I just don't see Joseph flying off the handle. I just don't see Joseph calling Mary names. I just don't see Joseph saying the first thing pops into his mind. Don't you know that Joseph's thinking, I'm dealing with the Son of God over here. I got to keep my... Because he was patient, he was allowed to do a work for God. Listen, folks. God, that old song, he's still working on me. I have to sing that thing about every week. And don't y'all go back and ask my wife how he's still working on me now. Wonder what kind of patience John had. John was the disciple that Jesus loved. They tried to kill John. That didn't work. Put John on the Isle of Patmos. John's the only one that died from old age. Everybody said, oh, Lord, John's out there on the Isle of Patmos. Why? John didn't say, oh, my Lord, you put me out here on this island all by myself, and I'm just going to throw my hands up. I'm going to give up. I ain't doing nothing else. You wouldn't have the book of Revelation if John thought like that. Because he was patient, he was allowed to do a work for God. How about Peter? Because Peter was patient, he didn't quit when he denied God. We all do it. Peter didn't quit when he denied. He could have thrown his hands up and said, well, that's it. I'm just going over there with Judas. But no, he didn't. We understand that Peter went on to do great and mighty things for Jesus. Somebody in this church right now need to make up your mind, I'm hanging in there. Somebody in this church right now needs to make up your mind. The devil's been fighting you. He fights all of us. But somebody needs to make up their mind. Hey, I'm staying in here. I'm sticking with Jesus. I'm sticking with the church. I'm staying with liberty. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Understand? Hey, if you'll do that, God can use you. Because he was patient, he was allowed to do a work for God. Now, listen to this. Some great people that have patience. Hank Aaron was 40 years old when he hit his 715th home run. 40 years. He'd been in the major leagues for a long time. Nolan Ryan at 43 pitched his sixth no-hitter. Hang in there, amen. At 44, George Washington crossed the Delaware River and captured Trenton, New Jersey. At 52, Sir Francis sailed around the world. At 59, Satchel Paige was the oldest baseball player in the major leagues. At 70, Cornelius Vanderbilt began buying railroads. Hey, God ain't through with you yet. Hang in there. God's got to work, amen, for you. And because he was patient, now listen, because he was patient, Jesus came to live with him. Anybody in the church, let's just be honest, anybody in the church that you was over 30 years old when you got saved, raise your hand. Several. Anybody in the church, you were over 40, 50 years old when you got saved. It's very rare. Very rare. I remember doing a revival one time where two 75-year-old men got saved. That is unheard of. But because Jesus had patience with you, aren't you glad Jesus had patience with you? Look where you're at right now. Amen. Listen, we ain't what we're supposed to be, but praise God, we ain't what we used to be. Amen. God's still trying to work on you. God's still, and listen, sometimes we have to be patient, but thank God he was patient with me. I heard something this week again. Me and another preacher were sitting down talking, and we got to talking about people being saved at a young age. We got talking about, I said, yeah, I remember running a revival one time where these kids came down and about, 13, 14 got saved. And that everybody was just kind of, yeah, thank the Lord, praise the Lord. I told them, if this had been two 75-year-old drunks, y'all be jumping pews. I said, but look what God saved them from. And he made a statement. This preacher got saved at an early age, been in the ministry for years and years and years. He said, there's a lot of people like me. I said, what you mean? He said, we've done all our sinning after we got saved. Now, you think about what I just said. Since you got saved, you ain't been perfect by a long shot. I'm talking about some people get saved at a young age. They don't know what it is to go out drinking. They don't know what it is to do drugs. They don't know what it is to go out. Everything they've done since they got saved. But thank God, we got a loving God that's full of love and full of patience and full of mercy. And he had patience with us. And he still got patience with you. And he's still working on you. He's still trying to get you. He's still trying to get you to where he wants you to be. Amen. Thank God for the patience of a loving Savior. Let me ask you a question. How many's been guilty of what I've been preaching on this week? Gavin, y'all come back and sing that last song one more time. Maybe third time's a charm with that song.